Tell you what a nice guy Dave is. I start another hostile takeover, and he apologizes to me. So I thought I've gone off in different directions before on the music, but that's the first time I've ever rushed the podium, and so appreciate the song service. And I like that song. That's a new song for me, and so I really like that song. Appreciate your efforts on that. Good to see everybody today. We had a lot gone last week. We had some visitors here as well, but we had different of our mamas going in different directions to celebrate Mother's Day, and so we're going to try and honor y'all this evening after services. I'm not really sure. I was a little ominous what Guy was saying, that we're going to make this work. It's starting to dawn on me that maybe one of our main guys is not here. That was our cook, so I'm hoping that he is well and doing well. But as Guy mentioned, we will make it work. So please come for that if you can, right after services this evening. I'm going to start in Luke chapter 19 if you want to be turning over there. It's been about 2 months, but about 2 months ago we talked about the destruction of Jerusalem, and I wanted to pick up from that point and talk about why it's so important for us to heed some of these warnings that God has for us, not just because if we don't, we're going to be punished, but because if we do heed the warnings, the reward is incredible. So often we look just at the downside, and certainly that's the reason that God has punishment promised if we are not faithful, but we need to look at the good side as well. And so anyway, Jesus is approaching the end of his ministry, and he's coming up upon Jerusalem. And in verse 41 it says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it, and said, if even you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. And then he goes on to talk about the destruction that's coming. But I've thought about that a lot through the years. If we only knew what would happen. There's been a lot of things in my life where, as I've looked at it, I thought, well, if I'd have only known that, I could have made a fortune. Or if I'd have only known that, I could have avoided an accident. Or if I'd have only... But I'm glad we don't always know in advance as far as those things in life. I was glad that Carolyn didn't know what she was getting into 37 years ago. And so there's some things I'm glad that others don't know, but Jesus is just talking about something I think we all need to think about from time to time, and that's this. We can know, but when we don't, the danger is so great that I believe he just looks at us from heaven as he was looking at Jerusalem from the hillside and just says, if you only knew. And so I want to talk about that this morning, about the things that will bring peace. We have been looking in the teen class on Wednesday night and also in the adult class on Sunday morning from the book of Deuteronomy. I like Deuteronomy because it's really a book of, it kind of sums up where they've been, but then it also is a book of preparation. It's a book of warning. It's true. If you're not careful, this is going to happen. But it's also a great book of preparation, a book of, you're about to enter the promised land, and these are all the things that you'll be able to enjoy if you'll just be obedient. And so in Deuteronomy 28, as Moses starts to wrap up a series of talks that he has had, inspired talks, he's telling them the exact words that God wants them to know. And in Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 1, he says this. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. And all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey God. I like that idea because we're not only going to be blessed for a little bit, but those blessings are going to travel with us through life. Some of us are very, very familiar with the fact that there are certain lifestyles that don't work out very good. But then when you come out of those lifestyles and you start living for God, the blessings follow you. And sometimes we just wake up in the morning and it's hard to believe what all God is doing for us. And he says that these blessings will accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. And then he starts off on just a long series of blessings. Verse 3, you'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. We were in Amarillo yesterday. I'm a much better driver in Happy, Texas, I have to tell you, than I am in Amarillo, Texas. And my patience is almost incredible here, but it's not very good there. Anyway, there's all that road construction, and fortunately other people were watching. I guess I'm getting to that old person stage where they have to watch out for you. But I pulled pretty much in front of somebody, and they laid on their horn. It's just like, thank you for not hitting me. You know, as a young man, it's like, you should have been more patient, you know. But yesterday, I was really thankful they didn't hit me. And then as we were merging onto the interstate, there's one merge that's almost an impossible merge. And Carolyn said, this is a really tough one. So I was watching extra careful just before the car nearly hit me and scooted around me. So you'll be blessed in the city. I feel like God watches over us even in these little things that really could be a big deal. And blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, and the calves of your herd, and the lambs of your flock. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in, and blessed when you go out. And then he sums it up in verse 8 by saying, the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. And isn't that true? When we do our best to serve God in His way, everything works out better. You still may have bad things happen to you in your life. Somebody may run into you because of your inattention. You may get sick. Someone you love may get sick. They may die. Difficult things will still happen, but which would you rather have? Would you rather have these difficult things happen with God blessing you all the way and taking care of you and lifting you up? Or would you rather go through these things on your own? And of course, the answer to that's really easy. We want God on our side. And so that's what he's saying. You'll be blessed in everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's given you. But now he comes up and he talks to him, what happens if you don't obey? And so starting in verse, let's keep on with the blessings because there's even more. Verse 11, the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground, the land he swore to your fathers to give to you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty. I think sometimes I read through the scriptures and it's just like, okay, well, that's interesting. Oh, God will open up the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty. Aren't we bountifully blessed to send rain on your land in season, to bless the work of your hands, all the work of your hands? You will lend to many nations, but borrow from none. Is that your situation? The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Think about that for a moment. Do these promises seem to you maybe a little bit too good to be true? Because I think a lot of people will look at God's way and just say, well, that's nice, but it's just a way. It's just another way. And they don't realize how thoroughly that God will bless them. And again, I want to say sometimes maybe it seems too good to be true to us. But now look at verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You'll be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. The crops of your land, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, Do we not live in a confused time? And rebuke in everything you put your hand to until you're destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. And now let me ask you this. Does that seem too harsh? Would a loving God do that? And of course the answer is, this is a covenant. This is a contract, a promise. This is his deal. If you'll do this, I'll take care of you in everything, more than you can imagine. If you won't, I'll harm you in everything, more than you can imagine. And again, sometimes I'm not sure that we really think that these things can happen. We were talking this morning in class, and Guy brought up some of the challenges of the World War II generation. We call them the greatest generation in ways because of what they were able to get through. They went through the Great Depression, first of all, and then they got into World War II. And for those of you who did not live during that time, like I did not, maybe history will serve us well to go back and think about what they went through. Just about every able-bodied young man, and when I say young man, 18 maybe to 35 or 40, all of a sudden was overseas in many, many instances. The ladies had to stay home and take care of things, not only their families, but they had to go, and they literally had to make things like planes and bombs. There were rations on everything. I came across a coupon book the other day from World War II, and it was different things that they could get. And once those coupons were gone, they didn't get any more sugar or flour or even tires. There were always drives for metal and different things so that these could be used in the war effort. It was a difficult time. Sometimes people don't really believe that a nation can go through such difficult times and be so thoroughly tried, but this nation has been before. And God is talking to a people who have just been wandering in the desert, the wilderness, for 40 years, so they know, but he's saying, don't forget. It only takes about a generation to get past that, though. The generation that we refer to as that greatest generation is nearly gone now. Most of them are 90 years old or older, those who still live. And so the next generation has come, and they didn't have to go through so many sacrifices. Some of you will know this because you've had loved ones in the military, but most of us have never had to pray for a loved one overseas. I can remember one of our ladies talking about when her, can't remember if it was her husband or fiancé, was shot down, didn't hear from him for weeks. And you're just wondering what's going to happen. We forget very quickly that God does not have to bless us in the rich ways that he does. But it just takes a generation or two to come back and realize that he really can. One of the things that I think really needs to be thought about from time to time is how God, as he was about to give Israel the promised land, he looks ahead hundreds of years and he tells them, because you're not going to be careful with your children and with your grandchildren and taking care of them and teaching them, there's going to come a time where they're going to have to go into captivity. But look at this in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 28, what he says about that time. They're a nation without sense. There's no discernment in them. If only they were wise and would understand this and discern what their end will be. If only they would understand. You ever have anybody older try and tell you something? I don't think you want to take out that loan on that property. I'll be okay. That didn't work. These payday loans, you ever seen them? They're great. They're just as good as pawn shops. You can go in and you can pay twice as much as you took out. You can end up getting a $2,000 loan on a car and paying back $15,000 in just a few years. And you look at people like that and you say, you don't want to go that route. But they feel stuck and they also feel like they can handle it. And you think, if they only knew. There are things that I went through when I was younger that I really wished I'd have listened to some of those people who had been through it or who understood the consequences, who looked at me and they just thought, if he only knew. But there are times we just have it to go through. So my question for you now is, are you going through these times now? Because if you are, then you do know now. What will you do about it? And if maybe you've dodged a bullet or two, like I did yesterday in traffic, even though I was not worthy of dodging those bullets, what will you do to make sure that doesn't happen again? This is what God is trying to get them to understand. In Isaiah chapter 48, we now come to the time that God was warning about several hundred years earlier in Deuteronomy 28, or verse 32 that we just read. But Isaiah 48, in verse 17, this is what the Lord, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you'd paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. I've been looking at different things recently, and one of the things I have really started to notice more, maybe it's because I've got more grandkids now, and my kids are getting older, and they're having to deal with certain things, but one of the things that I really desire for them is peace. And I want them to have peace. And I look at what's going on in so many different areas where sin just seems to be taking hold. Where in certain circles it is honorable to kill your baby before it's born, and it's dishonorable to suggest that that's not right. In certain circles it's honorable to take part in immorality, and it's dishonorable to suggest that it's wrong. And we start to look at different things and different consequences that are starting to heap up. And really, when you look at it, we see a nation that doesn't have much peace now. I've watched politics for a lot of years. I guess I had too much time on my hands, but I watched politics for a lot of years, and I've noticed that politicians are always fighting for power and control, and therefore they always find something wrong with the other side. But I've never seen it to where there was no peace, where there was almost a hatred towards each other like there is now. And as things happen like this, I'm tempted to pray that God will give us peace. But that would be wrong. And the reason it would be wrong is because of what God says in verse 22. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. It's the turmoil that causes us to repent. Isn't that true? When you're little and you do something and your parents catch you, they bring turmoil into your life. It's that turmoil that causes you to repent. When we're young and we're married and we get in over our head financially and we start doing silly things, there comes a discipline from turmoil of, man, this is hard to make ends meet. I want to get out of this. I don't want to get it in again. It's the turmoil that will allow us to change our behavior and have peace later. But there is a lack of peace that is promised by God. Call it a curse, call it consequences, call it whatever you want to call it. But there is a lack of peace that God promises for us when we don't do things right. We see it physically in the physical activities, but we don't always see it in the spiritual activities. And sometimes we wonder why I don't have a sense of peace in my mind when I go to bed at night, or why I don't have a general sense of peace as I go through the day. And it very often is because of the sin in our life trying to tell us something. And we shouldn't be praying for us to have peace without repentance. Appreciated so much the prayers of late of asking for repentance and asking for a renewal or some kind of a change of direction. It does require repentance first. But if we want to get peace before we have repentance, we're doing things wrong. There's a term for that in our modern psychological world. It's called enabling. Satan knew that years ago. Satan knew that the people that tried to pet people and say that's okay when they sin and try to do away with the consequences of the sin without doing away with the sin was nothing but a benefit for the evil that he desires for us. When we have sin, there needs to be consequences. And we don't need to bail people out of the consequences before there's a repentance, because it's the consequences, it's the curse that God places upon evil behavior, built in, is it not, that will cause us to come to our senses. And if we never come to our senses, what's going to happen to us on the day of judgment? And so this is what God is trying to get across to us. And he says, if only you'd have paid attention, your peace would have been like a river. But there's no peace for the wicked. And so what does that mean for us? Well, the first thing, and I'm about to conclude. I always hate for somebody when the time is nearly up to start saying the first thing. But Psalm chapter 39 and verse 4. Show me my way, O Lord. Excuse me. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You've made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who'll get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. And so the first thing is to get control where we are. To look at the fact that your physical life has bounds. There's a limit to it, but we're grateful for that. The older I get and the less things work, the more grateful I am for the physical bounds, because I want to go to heaven anyway. I don't deserve it, but that's what I'm looking forward to. God will be faithful in his promise. He'll also be faithful in his promises for the bad things. So we need to get a hold of ourselves now. It is a very brief time, and then we go on to meet our reward or our punishment. Which will we choose? The final passage I want to share with you is found in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. And it's kind of a verse, it's not kind of, it's a verse of perspective. He starts out by saying, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He's talking about the sinful part of the world, whether we're talking about evil things we do or making a physical thing into an idol. Then he says, for everything in the world, the craving of sinful men, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. This is what we need to come to grips with. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. Isn't it wonderful to serve a God who will forgive whatever you have done if you will just repent and take care of it in his way? Isn't it wonderful for those who have not yet become Christians to know that all you have to do once you believe is to confess your belief in Christ, repent of your sins, and have your sins washed away, and then live for God, and then you can live for God, and then you do have a prospect of this joy. And you have a prospect of living forever. It's what God wants for you. It's what he has allowed his son to die for you. Will you embrace it, or will you just go along and someday come to the point where God just shakes his head over you and just says, if only you knew, as Christ did over Jerusalem and as God did in Isaiah. There's the invitation that we always offer, and we want to offer it this morning. If you're ready to become a Christian, we'd love to help you with that. If you need the prayers of congregation or have any needs, won't you come forward and let us know about those needs while we stand and sing.